want to get you to think this morning. Golly, that was a good song.
Praise the Lord.
Can you imagine how he felt? He didn't just die for the people that surrounded him. Did you know he died for the person that had the hammer? Did you know that he died for the person that plunged the crown of thorns in his brow? He died for the person that held the scourge, loving them as they made furrows in his back, loving them. He never turned away from the sinner. Could you do that? He loved and died for the people that hated him. He loved and died for the people that surrounded him, crying out, "Crucify." He loved them. He loved them even in that. What a great God we have. I want you to look with me quickly. We're going to get to the scripture here in a moment. We sing this song quite often. Boy, that's got me tore up. Man, praise the Lord. I know who I am. You know why that tears me up? Because I know who I am. I know who I am. Don't you act like you wouldn't have been holding the hammer. Don't you act like you wouldn't have been one holding the nails. Don't act like that, because you don't know how you'd have been. You weren't there. You've got glorious truth given to you. There weren't that many disciples. I want you to turn in your hymnals quickly. Hymnals. Yeah, hymnals. I said hymnals. It's the King James version of the hymnal. That's a joke, by the way. People say, really? 394 is a song we sing quite often. And I want to read through this with you, because you know there's times when you sing a song and you don't hear the words. Do you know there's some of us, I really don't know if they were in the room today, because I don't know about you, but that was wonderful what that little girl just did. I doubt there were too many people that weren't listening to that. But do you know there's times that you get songs sung to you that you don't hear anything? You enjoy it. But do you know how important music is to a service? How important the words of these wonderful songs are, and how important it is that God gave the words to those people to pen for their songs. I believe that God still does that to this day. It doesn't happen very often, because I believe there's a lot more old songs that are wonderful than new. But to sit there and tell me that Debbie Black, Tiffany Brooke, you're going to tell me that they're not writing songs that God gave them? So I believe that songs can still be wrote. But do you know that I want more for your life than what you're doing right now? Do you know I want more for this church than just, it's full today, God bless your hearts for coming. I can't believe you do. Do you know that I want more for this church than to just be full today? Do you know that I want more than just 70 people or whatever we had today in Sunday school class? Do you know I want more? Do you know that I want more people in the youth? Do you know that? Do you know I want to have more teenagers up here? This church is exciting with more teenagers. I want them to be here. Do you know I want more senior citizens here? Do you know I want more people involved in God's work? I want more. And the people that can get that done are sitting in this room. Can you imagine if you think next to you right now, if you would bring one person, what this church would look like? All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence, daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow. Worldly pleasures, be careful now, all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. As I read this hymn and I think about the words that we sing so very often, and I think about the process of thought that we have as Christian people, I think about those things and I look at several cases, and I'm going to read through. I'm going to skip the first one for now. I'm going to come back to that, but I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 9. The Lord is kind of steering me in a different direction here, and I'm going to go ahead and let Him drive, if you don't mind. Acts chapter 9, we're going to stand up and read the first few verses of Acts chapter 9, dealing with one of the most prominent Christians that you'll ever read about, dealing with my favorite Christian in the whole Bible, dealing with Paul. And I want you to stand with me as we read the first few verses. You look at chapter 9 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Now, I don't know about you, but if you read that first verse, it does not remind me of someone that's going to end up having the Lord use him to write more of the New Testament than any other man. It doesn't remind me of somebody that God's going to be able to use at all, because he's persecuting the church. He's not persecuting bad guys. He's persecuting the church. He's walking in the church house, grabbing people, pulling them out, and just go ahead and putting them in prison. This is Paul. "And desired of him letters to Damascus, into the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him," could you put your name here, please? Can you put your name here, please? "David, David, why persecutest thou me?" He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Do you surrender all? Brother Don, could you lead us in prayer, please? Please. Amen. You may be seated. The word surrender does not actually appear in the Bible, but I believe the premise of it does. I know it doesn't appear in the Bible, but I do know what it means. And I love the definitions that you can get about the word surrender. We just read a hymn together, but the word surrender, it means to agree to stop fighting. And I'm not talking about each other now. Forget about each other. I'm talking about you and God today. You and God. Saul was a horrible, horrible person. God had throughout Saul's life attempted to get him to see how good God was. He attempted to get Saul to see how wonderful he was, how powerful he was, how amazing he was. It was hard, hard, hard for Saul to kick against those things. And I believe in our life, we have forms of surrender in our life. We have forms of how much we're going to give God. We have forms of what we want to do for the Lord. And I've got a few today. Up until this point, I've got it broken down into four different things of surrender. Surrender is to agree to stop fighting. I love this. Surrender is an agree to stop hiding. Surrender is an agreement to stop resisting Because you know you will not win. Surrender is to give control to someone else. First part of Saul's life, I believe he fell under the guise of no surrender. And I worry because I believe some of us in our lives before this had no desire to serve the Lord, had no desire to know who He was, had no desire, and I was one of them. I'm here to tell you there, I was one of them. I did not want to go to church. I did not care about the things of God. The very first thing that I thought of when I thought about church is the preacher going around and passing around these plates. That's the first thing I thought of. I didn't want anything to do with it. I like my money. I don't like them to have it. I had this vision that the preacher's the one getting the money. I had the vision that the men are going out on vacations because of the money that I put in that plate. I was a kid. I put in like 4 cents. I don't think they're going anywhere special on 4 cents. And what's amazing to me is I got this picture in my head that this is what God's church was and the men running it, and it's full of hypocrites. How many have ever heard that statement? Church is full of hypocrites. That's such a horrible statement. No, it isn't. It's true. You're looking at a whole room full of them right now. Hypocrites, every last one of you. You say, I can't believe I came to church and this is what I'm hearing. You're a hypocrite. Why are you a hypocrite? Because none of us are going to be able to do what God wants us to do fully. I desire in my life to live a certain way. Do you know there's times I fall short of that? Do you know I'll tell this young man, Colton, this is the way you ought to live. And do you know that I'll tell him this is the way you ought to live, and I very well may go out the next day and not quite live up to what I just told him to do? And you'll say, not me, buddy. Now you're a liar too. As Saul walked his days, do you know he was highly educated in religion? Do you know he was highly educated in the things of what he thought was God? He was highly educated, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a wonderful, great, wonderful Pharisee. He was held up high. He walked around with the long phylacteries and the robes and holy, holy, holy. But he was not. He was not surrendered to the Lord. The Lord presents him with a question here. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, you say, well, he was going around from house to house to house pulling people out. Do you know that we persecute the Lord every single day? How do you do that? You ignore him. How do you do that? How do we do that? You understand, I'm doing this because I want you to go forward for Christ. And I want you to see what it takes. It takes for you, number one, to not have a point in your life of no surrender. I believe the vast majority of us in this room right now are past the point of no surrender because you're here today. If you weren't here today, you would be unsurrendered to the things of God. You would be still fighting what God wants for your life, fighting. And I believe there's people all across the world today fighting against what God wants for them, fighting against the things of God, fighting against His calling, fighting against His leading, His gentle leading of His Holy Spirit, fighting those things. Why? Because they don't want to serve God. We sing the song, I surrender all. And I've watched some of you sing it with all of your heart and with all of your voice, but we don't give it with all of our life. It's easy to surrender all in here. So hard to surrender all out there. And by the way, can I help you? I'm not a preacher that preaches to you because I'm better than you. I'm a preacher that doesn't surrender all to, if you can take that. I'm a preacher that needs to surrender more of his life. I don't live in a point of no surrender, although I did live in a point of no surrender for a long time. By the way, can I help you out a little bit? Do you know I lived my life in no surrender after I got saved? Wrap your head around that. I know you know my testimony, but it's funny to me how preachers believe that, well, I got saved and I got right. I got saved and I got busy with the world. Does that make me wrong? Yeah, probably, but it doesn't change the fact of what I did. I didn't surrender to him. I fought him on a battlefield over and over and over again. An enemy comes and beats you down and takes out your troops and takes out your ammunition and takes out your cannons and takes out all those things. And eventually you come to the point where I've got to stop fighting. Why? Because I can't win. There's times when you live your life in no surrender. Do you feel like you're battling with God today? Do you know God wants you to do something for Him? I'm so sick and tired of people telling other people they can't serve God. I'm sick of that. You know, you probably won't come back Wednesday because we got two teenage men here that are preaching. Are you still a teenager? You're almost Social Security age, aren't you? This man right here surrendered to preach. Surrendered to preach. That takes a lot of surrender. He may not even have his head wrapped around all the surrender that takes to be a preacher. Because we're nuts, and we're usually looked down on. And here's this young man wanting to preach, and we won't surrender our Wednesday night to come and hear them. And you're going to fight against God to do it. You're going to fight against God to do it. Hey, the Cavs might be playing, man. I can't miss them. I watched them. You ain't missing much. I'm going to tell you right now, what part of your life are you willing to get? You know that you're fighting against what He wants for your life. You know you're fighting it. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it when the time comes and the Lord needs, He's pricking your heart. He's pricking your life. He's coming after you and you know it. I believe everybody, every person in this room knows that God's after them for something, yet they still fight. Why? Because I don't want to give up my drinking. Preacher, all you're going to ask me to do is give up your life. No, all I'm going to ask you to do is give it to Him. By the way, that's a wonderful, wonderful life to live. There's no surrender. Then there's false surrender. One of my favorites. Happens every time at any meeting of men, any meeting of youth conference, I see him coming up by droves. The preacher just preached his heart out. God got a hold of him. They pray. They get, oh, God, yeah, God. And all the preachers, bless God, we had 85 decisions. You walk out the door and didn't make one decision. That's a false surrender. False surrenders have happened throughout history a few times where they raise the white flag and everybody comes out and then they shoot the people that come out. Joking, no surrender, now you surrender. You know, Christians all across America surrender their lives for 7 seconds. People all across the world today surrendering their life for 2 minutes. And they take that decision right back with them and go back to the life that they always have led. Why? Because they're still fighting. They're still fighting. The Holy Spirit's moving. They're still. Why don't we see the Holy Spirit come down? Because it's not going to come down anywhere near you. What's sad is there's days that the Holy Spirit comes down here in a very miraculous way that nobody recognizes it. What are we doing? We're fighting. We're fighting God. I'm not talking about fighting each other. I'm talking about fighting God's movement, fighting Jesus Christ and what He wants to do for you. Saul, why persecute us? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. I'm coming after you. God needs you. You say you don't know my life. You don't know mine. You say you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I've done. Do you know God still wants to use you? And by the way, you're not going to do anything better with your life. I don't care if you develop a cure for cancer. I know a man who's had that cure for a long time. That's nothing new to him. He made the cells. I got to believe he's smarter than you. I know that man. That man is Jesus Christ. And he wants you to do something for him. He's got a perfect, wondrous, great plan for a sinner like you. You do realize you're a sinner, right? I mean, I think we've covered that ground. You are a sinner, as good as you are. You're still a sinner. And He's got a plan specifically for you that if you will, you'll do things you never imagined you'd do. I'll give you a perfect example. I got saved at 11 years old. I lived like the devil for years after that, just like the devil. I'm going to tell you right now, him and I walked hand in hand everywhere. Saved young man, just walking with the devil, knowing I was doing it too, and almost defiantly so. You ever had a kid like, you ever had an adult like that, just defiant about the things of God? I'm saved and I'm not going to serve God because all you guys are just a bunch of money-grubbing preachers. I don't care. You're fighting. You're fighting him. Whether you give your money or not is irrelevant to me. Your money will be in this plate if your heart is in his hands. Well, you better pass the plates again, preacher, because I missed out. I'm going to tell you right now, don't worry about the condition of what you do. It's the condition of this right here that makes you do what you do. Don't you tell me any different. You're fighting him. Why are you fighting him? Why are you fighting him? You can convince me that you're not. You really can. I'm stupid. No problem to convince me that you've surrendered to Christ. No problem. But then when I see you at the streetlight going like this, I got to believe that you're, whoa. I got to believe that you're really not surrendered. When I see you up here crying out, oh God, please, and then I watch you drinking alcohol later on, I got to believe you're not surrendered. You can fool us, go ahead. But you haven't fooled him and you're fighting him. In here today, I believe the Lord gave me this message with all my heart. You're kicking against the pricks because God wants you to do something with your life that's very special. Don't you let anybody tell you can't do something special, because God can use you in your current state to do something wonderful for him. I get sick and tired of people telling me teenagers can't do nothing. Senior citizens can't do nothing. Men can't do nothing. Women can't do nothing. I'm so sick and tired. There's not a person in this whole wide world that God can't use. Not one. There's a false surrender. Look at Luke chapter 9 with me. This is my favorite. I think this is the most common. This is absolutely the most common. I don't think it is. It's the most common. Read with me Luke chapter 9. We're going to start in verse 57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy, that sounds great. He could sing this, I surrender all. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Can I just take 1 second to give you a spiritual application of that? Yes, Jesus walked this earth, had no home. Jesus walked this earth, didn't have a place to stop. He didn't have a home to be in. But can I ask you a question? When he describes you, what does he describe you as? Huh? His dwelling place. Can I put a spiritual application of that verse? Foxes have holes. Can I give you a spiritual application of the thought? Jesus is walking with people right now, and Jesus is saying, you know what? I'm in the midst of them, but I'm not in the middle of them. I desperately want a place to reside inside of Jimmy Shell. I really, really do. I want to be right here in your heart, son. That's where I want to be. I want to guide and direct your steps. I really, really do. But you know what? As I look over the room, I find no place where I can lay my head. I find no place where I can hold up for the night. I find no life that wants me to reside in them. That's a frightening thought. Look what it says. By the way, Christ... I love this because people say, why did Christ say that? Because Christ knew what this guy was going to say. He's pretty smart. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, preacher, now you're meddling. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I love my daddy. I don't believe that the Lord wants you to not be at your daddy's funeral. I believe the Lord wants you to know that if the dead are there, it ought not be where you are. Look at this now. He said, suffer me first to go bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Do you know what kind of surrender these people had? A conditional surrender. Now the brass tacks are pointed upwards. Now we're getting the rubber on the road. Now here we go. Brother Bill, I'll serve God, but he better make sure that I'm taken care of. Brother Bill, is he taking care of you? Amen. No problem. I'm telling you, it may not be in the way you like, but that's not part of the conditions. I love watching Christians. I'll serve God as long as I don't have to tithe. You make me want to throw up. I'm just letting you know how you make me feel. I don't want to tithe. Well, you know what? That's a condition to your surrender. I'll work for you, God, but don't make me pay money. I surrender some. I surrender some. Some to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender some. I'm glad he didn't sing that going to the cross. By the way, you know he's only asking you for some when it comes to your money. You know that? I know this isn't, this is, I am so sick of you Baptist preachers. Do you know how much of your life would be liberated? And I don't care. I don't know who gives and who doesn't give. I couldn't care less. I really couldn't. I give. Check me out. If you want to check me out, go get Miss Rosie. She'll tell you. I give. Why? Because I want the Lord to be pleased with me. I've surrendered my cash to him. The filthy lucre. God, you can have it. Just use me. That's all I want. You say, well, boy, that's pretty pedantic. It might be, but I want him to have my money because that's part of things in my life that could keep me from serving him. I'm not going to fight him on the money. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for thee. I'm so sick. You know why you're so sick? Because you've been getting pricked so long. It's so hard. Preacher, I'll surrender this, but I won't surrender my time. Preacher, you asked me to come to a prayer meeting? You're asking me to come Sunday school. Show me that in the Bible. I tell you what, you show me that it isn't. Because you telling me that already lets me know you don't read it. I want you to show me in the Bible, preacher, where we have Sunday night services. I want you to show me, preacher, that midweek service, that Wednesday night, that's too much for me. I'll give him everything but that. Is that a surrender? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Have you ever thought about church on Wednesday night when you're not here at church on Wednesday night? Don't raise your hands, please. Oh, my goodness, don't raise your hand. Have you ever thought about church? Because I'm going to tell you right now, if I miss church, which is very, very seldom, if I miss church, I've been sick a few times, whatever. If I miss church, my whole life is weird. I feel weird when I'm not in church. Well, you're a pastor. You know what? I was saved long before I became a preacher. And I feel weird when I'm not in church. I've given that part of my life to him. I've surrendered it to him. It's now his. He owns me Sunday morning. He owns me Sunday night. He owns me Wednesday night. My question to you is, how does he own you? Why is it that churches are full on Sunday morning like it is today? Glory to God. I'm glad you're here. But why is it empty on Wednesday night? I surrender some. I surrender some. That's good singing right there. I don't know about you. Lord, I can't pray to you. I've got something else to do. I can't give to you. I got somewhere else for that money to go. I've got something else to do. I can't serve God. I can't teach a Sunday school class. I can't spend the time that it takes to study. If God called you to do it, you can do it. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. How are we going to get forward in this church? How are we going to move forward? How are we going to move forward without surrendered people? Come on, you know it's true. Don't you look at me and give me that snide look. Don't you do it. I'll come back there. You know you've got something to offer the Lord. You know you do. He didn't save you to sit. That's dumb. Do you think that you hire an employee? If we were employees of God, can you imagine how long you'd have a job? Good night. I'm here for work, Lord. Lord, you're going to have to give me somebody that sings real good this morning, or I'm not going to be very happy with the church service. Lord, I'd really appreciate it if somebody other than Brother Dave preached, because I really can't stand him. So God, I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm pretty much not going to do anything until you start showing me something. How long would you be employed? Given your current work output for God, how long would you be employed? If God could fire you, would he do it? Think about that for a moment. If God could fire you, would he do it? If it was contingent upon you telling one person about Christ a week, would you still have a job? If it was contingent upon you serving God in the fact of showing up for church, would you think that you would have a job very long? If it was about reading your Bible one verse a day, every day, would you tell me that you'd still have a job? Glory to God, I'll amen myself. Amen, preacher, I'd be fired. I surrender a little. I surrender a little. You know, going to heaven's not being in a lifeboat. If we're going to do something for God, we're going to need everybody. Everybody. Every single person's got a job. Every single person God has a plan for. Every single person. I'm tired of you taking your place on the shelf. By the way, don't put conditions on this surrender. Here comes another one. I'll serve God as long as I get to serve God how I want to serve God. Because if you think that passing a plunger on to somebody else is serving God, and I'm saying that's absolutely completely selfishly, by the way. Really, if you see a toilet plugged, it's real simple. You put the plunger in, it's done. It's done. Real simple. You don't need to come out and say, hey, preacher, toilet's plugged. You don't need to do that. You can figure it out. I'm not going to serve God unless I'm a pastor. You don't want this position. Bobby, can I ask you a question? I'm not going to serve God unless I can be a youth pastor. Would you tell them to have second thoughts about that? Because I'm going to tell you, if God's not behind you doing what you're doing, you will fail. Preacher talked to me for years about being the pastor of this church. Years. You can ask every person I've talked to about this. All I want is what God wants. All I want is what, and I'm going to tell you, every person would tell you that I've said that to them, because I only want what God wants. If God wants me here, God will put me here. I'll surrender everything I've surrendered everything I've got. I'll give everything I have. I'll do everything I can to further the Lord's ministry here. I want to surrender everything I've got to Him. Why? Because this isn't the building we're supposed to be in. Somebody say amen. This is not the place we're supposed to be. I'm tired of the mustard pews. I'm sick of mowing the grass. Glory to God, hallelujah, I'm sick of mowing the grass. I'm sick of fixing the tractor. I'm sick of doing all those things. We better start surrender so God can do something wonderful out there. We serve up 16 hot dogs, 1,000 people come up. You'll think that's where God wants us to be? I'm not comfortable anymore. I'm tired of being comfortable. I want to go serve God where God comes down in miraculous ways. We're not going to do that unless we surrender. This bright light shone around Saul. This bright light came around him. And he didn't ignore God. Turn back to Acts. Chapter 9, verse 4. I'm sorry. Man, I love to hear the turning of pages. If you look just one verse back, as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly There shined round about him a light from heaven. He fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul answered, Who art thou, Lord? I believe the Lord has asked you to do some things. Who art thou, Lord? Look at this. And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. I'm the one you're fighting. I believe I'm hitting home this morning. I'm the one you're fighting. Why are you fighting against Christ? Why are you fighting what He has for you to do? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. It's hard for thee to deny that Jesus has something wonderful. I'm not mad that we're not doing it. I'm mad that we're fighting it. Think about your children for a moment. My kids do everything I ask immediately. Then there's the hypocritical message of the sermon. By the way, you don't do everything you're asked right away. I wonder where the kids get it. But it's different not doing it and then standing there telling me I'm not doing it. Michael, you're not even my kid. I noticed you sit further in. Not helping. I will not allow in the school. I will not allow it. You get mad at me all you want to, but I will not allow a child to tell me no. I will not allow it. I'm sorry, won't allow it. They won't be in the school for 7 seconds if they're going to tell me no. I'm an authority in their life. I'm the principal, and I'm pretty nice. They should listen to me and do what I say right away. I know my own children don't do it at home. I will. I'm gonna. All right. And then they finally do it. But not one of my children will sit there and say, I'm not doing it. You see the difference? This is just procrastination, laziness, whatever label you want to put on it. That's rebellion. Big difference. The job's still not getting done, but the spirit is different. Okay? By the way, picking on Michael, he always does what I tell him to do. Really does. He does. He does because I'll kill him. But he knows. Okay? I'm not against fisticuffs. I'm not. I was just, and it's all over with. Honest. So anyways, I that's the spirit of the child or the spirit of the Christian. You're fighting against God. No, I won't. I'm not going to do it. That's rebellion. That's fighting. Lord, I want to do it. I'd like to do it. I'm going to do it eventually, but I'm not doing it right now is laziness or not doing what God wants. But understand this. At the end of the day, your surrender must be unconditional if you want God's blessings. If you want God to really make a difference in your life, to really do something great beyond anything you ever imagined, good Lord, from 11 years old until 15, 16 years old, I managed to get kicked out of my home having the nicest dad in the whole wide world. The nicest dad in the whole wide world. Do you know why I got kicked out? Because I was a rebellious idiot. Not one thing was my dad's fault, not one. But he couldn't use me anymore. Do you think my dad stayed up nights waiting for me to come home, sitting on the couch having to get up 5 o'clock in the morning to provide food for my stupid self? He sat on the couch waiting for me to come home. Why? Because he was mad? Why do you wait up for your kids when they aren't home on time? Because you're scared to death. My dad waited up trembling because he was worried about where I would be. He was worried about where I would do. He knew what I was doing. And my daddy sat up worrying, oh my goodness, I hope my son is okay. I hope it's all right. And if I was God, I would have never picked me to serve him. But he still did. Now my dad and I are the best of friends. My dad is very, very proud of what I'm doing right now. And that's not what makes me happy. What makes me happy is I've surrendered myself to the Lord. I want what He wants for my life. And there's no conditions to this surrender. If God called me tomorrow to Africa, I've got to go. If God calls me tomorrow to Hawaii, Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I'm going to tell you right now, I want to do what God wants me to do, and I want you to get in your life that you want to do what God wants you to do, because you have a job. And I'm going to tell you, don't look around at the leadership. They're the ones that have to do it. Don't look around at the deacons. They're the ones that have to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. You have to do it. God's got a plan for you, and you've got to do it. Nobody can do your job. I can't do Brian Stevens' job. Can't do it. I can't do. You know why? I'm not Brian Stevens. I can't do that job. I can't do Bob Shell's job. Carl McDaniels, you know I can't do your job, son. I can't swim 10 feet, let alone a lap. They'd be picking me up off the bottom of the pool. I'm going to tell you right now, in our lives, we're going to do something great for God. It's going to take every single person in this room, not just a few. Look at this now. This is his attitude. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished. God is still almighty. And to have him come for you is a truly, truly frightening thing. I'll tell you why. How long had I preached here before I surrendered to preach? How long? It was a long time. I mean, I had been here for a decade probably before I surrendered to preach. I just got a card the other day from Annie Saylor. She sends me a card every anniversary of the day I surrendered to preach. I stood in this front row right here. I think it's the same for every preacher. I know this is the way it was for me. I consider myself to be able to walk in a certain way, stand a certain way. Very few times my emotions get the best of me. And I'm sitting in this chair, and I told my father-in-law, I believe that the Lord's called me to preach. I'm going to surrender to preach tonight. And it's something I prayed about for a very long time, and I knew that God wanted me to surrender. Probably wanted me to surrender earlier, but that was the night. So I figured I'm just going to stand up. I preached in this church lots of times. I'd been the youth pastor for a long time. I'm telling you, this was nothing that was out of the ordinary. This was supposed to happen. This was no big deal. I stood up out of my chair, and all of a sudden, my breath was taken from me. And I'm not talking about hokey pokey emotional thing. I'm telling you, I couldn't breathe. As I walked up, took 3-4 steps, my father-in-law asked me, what you coming for, son? I couldn't tell him. You know what? You know why he's astonished and trembling? Because he was getting orders from the Almighty. If you realized how important your position is in the eyes of God, you would take it so seriously. If you knew how important your position, well, you don't, I'm not pastoring. It's not, you don't want that job if it's not what God wants. You want the job God wants for you. I came as a preacher. I can't even say a word. I can't even speak. Started to cry. Tears ran down my face. I had people hugging me afterwards. I'm going to tell you, I was embarrassed. I was astonished. And I was trembling. Why? Because I got orders from the Almighty. You say, well, he only gives those orders to preachers. That's a lie. That's a lie. Just as Almighty, just as direct orders come from him to you. What are you supposed to do? Who art thou, Lord? I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, here it is. What wilt, what's that next word? What will thou? In a surrender, the enemy comes forward. The enemy is beaten. You beat them, and they have nothing left. It's not a false surrender. They have nothing left. There's no way for them to fight against you. They have to give up fighting. They have to give up resisting. They have to give up hiding. They have to give up all those things and surrender to the people that have authority over them. Here's these people, this enemy, this God hater, this person is going against the things of God. And he says, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Why? Because he had to stop fighting. He had to stop resisting. He had to stop hiding. Why? He had no defense left. I would to God we'd get in our lives the fact that we have no defense left. God wants to use you. God wants to have you. Next thing you know, God makes him blind. And I'm not saying he's going to make you blind. But I love the spiritual application of blindness. Do you know why I love it so much? Brother Jimmy, I'm not asking you to see what God has for your life. I'm asking you to do what God has for your life. Think about that for a moment. In a surrender, the victors come forward for the spoils. The white flag has been raised. The victors come. And they say, this is a surrender. We have no ability to fight. We now have to do what you tell us to do. There is no other way. No conditions. No thought processes. If they want you to go get down and give them 50 push-ups, they got to do it. Why? They surrendered to you. If God wants you to clean toilets, you have to surrender to Him. If God wants you to straighten out library books, you have to surrender to Him. If God wants you to teach a Sunday school class, you have to surrender to Him. If God wants you to do things that you don't want to do, if you don't want to do them, that's not part of surrender. You just have to do them. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? That's surrender. That's surrender. What wilt thou have me to do? The Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. I have had more Christians than I can even count that are not willing to wait on what God wants them to do. Think about this for a moment. I know it's getting long. I don't care. I want us to go forward. Do you know sometimes God doesn't reveal His will to you right away? Is this a good example? Go into the city, and I'll show you there. Is that not what God said? Look what it said. Arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Well, I want to know now, God. I've got things to do. Roasts are burning at home right now because you won't tell me what to do. I want to know right now. Oh, I'd never be like that. Do you know how many people that I know right now, this very moment, that are absolutely beside themselves if they don't have all the facts? I'm not sure you need to know all those facts. Well, I don't know what my job's going to be for the Lord. I'm not sure that it's important. God's going to tell you. You just continue to work for Him. Well, what do I have to do? I love it. What is God's will for my life? Well, that's the question of the year, isn't it? What is God's will for my life? God's will is very simple. Really, it is. Give yourself to Him. How do you do that? I think you ought to come to church. Every service. If the doors are open, you should be too. I think you ought to come to church. I think you ought to read your Bible. I think you ought to read. Well, that's not fun at all. I'm not talking about fun. I'm talking about God's will. You do this. Come to church. Go into the city. Come to church. Read your Bible. Pray. Ask God. God, what would you have me to do? That's what He asked. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? He said, go to the city. I'll show you and I'll tell you what you have to do. It'll be told to you there. If you're willing to make that journey, from where He talked to you to where He tells you, what a wonderful journey that'll be. In the midst of this, you're going to have to surrender. You're going to have to give your life unconditionally. It can't have conditions to it. It can't have something where, God, I'm going to give you some, but I'm not going to give you all. You've got to be willing to give Him all. You've got to be willing to give Him everything. You've got to be willing to not fight against Him anymore, to realize that we can't fight. Here's what's great about this, and I love this, and I'm all done. In a surrender on a military battlefield, Appomattox, take whatever you want. Take your pick. At that surrender, the losing team, there are losers, by the way, just letting you know. Not everybody gets green ribbons. The loser comes to the victor and presents him with his sword, gives him the acknowledgement of surrender. You surrender your life to Christ, you get to keep the sword. You get to keep the weapon. You get to keep the sword that's sharper than any two-edged sword. He says, no, you're going to need that for what I've got for you. And Jesus gives you marching orders. You take this sword out in the battlefield and you start hacking. What are we going to do for God? What are we going to do for God? Don't worry about what you want to do. What are we going to do for God? What is God going to do through you? How is God going to use your life? He's not going to use it unless you surrender. You've got to stop fighting. Saul surrendered to God. The Lord changed his name to Paul. He surrendered to God, and I dare say that Paul did more for Christianity than just about anybody that ever walked the face of the earth. Really did. One of my favorite people. Through that walk, he suffered. He got maximum punishment on the scourging 3 times. He literally died. He literally had shipwreck. He literally had all kind of problems. But he surrendered his all to Christ. And he did more for us than you can ever imagine. What can you do? What can you do for Jesus Christ? I don't believe you're ever going to know. I don't believe you're ever going to know until you surrender all to Him. Until you surrender all to Him. Why are you fighting? What's stopping you? What's in the way? Is it you're mad at the preacher? Is it you don't feel like doing it? What's the problem? What's the fight? What you can't fight anymore. You can't hide anymore. You can't resist anymore. You are just surrender to Christ. Let Him do something with your life. I believe a surrendered people is a used people, and I believe a used people can do something great for God even in this wicked world today. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. The person sitting next to you can't do it. It's got to be you. What can you give to the Lord? Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. Oh God, we are a needy people. Lord, please. I believe my pastor when he says you want to do it one more time here in Northeast Ohio, but I'm going to tell you, God, that's not going to happen without a surrendered people. That's not going to happen without surrendered preachers. That's not going to happen without surrendered deacons. That's not going to happen without surrendered men. That's not going to happen without surrendered ladies and teenagers and kids. It's not going to happen, God, unless we want what You want, and that's Your gospel propagated. I believe that with all my heart, so I know You can do it. Lord, will we surrender to You? Lord, I believe there's fightings. I believe there's resistance. Lord, I believe there's even hiding, staying away from what You'd have for us. Lord God, let us surrender. Let us wave that white flag today and decide that we're going to give ourselves to You and watch what an almighty God can do with an absolutely undone person. Great and wondrous things, I believe, will happen when you have a surrendered person. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say, you know what? I know 100% sure that if I were to die right now, that I'd go right to heaven to be with the Lord. I'm saved. I know that with all my heart that I'm saved, and I'm so happy about it. Can you put your hands up real big and tall? I know that I know that I know. You may put them down. Not everybody raised their hands. I give you my word. I will not come to you. I will not embarrass you, but I certainly want to pray for you. I want you to know that Lord that I know. I want you to know Him. I want Him to get close to you. I want Him to save your soul from hell. Because hell is real. Can't get it out of the Bible. It's going to be there forever. And hell is going to be there if you die and you don't know Him as Savior. That's where you're going to go. I can't change it. But today's the day. Aren't you glad? Today's the day that you surrender your soul to Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad that He's still saving people? It's so very simple. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's so simple to give your heart to Him. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. This isn't time to be watching. This is time to be praying. Would there be some that would be willing to say with an uplifted hand, you know what, I don't know. the Lord is my Savior, but I sure would like to know. Could you please pray for me? Would you put your hands up real big and tall? I will not come to you. I give you my word. I won't embarrass you. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? There's one. Is there more? Is there more? Dear Jesus, the invitation's about to start. Lord, I would pray, oh God, please, the one that raised their hand, Lord, please bring them forward and have them be introduced to your word so they can know how to get saved. Oh God, please, let them surrender their life to you in that way. It's the beginning of a long journey, Lord, but it's the beginning of the greatest journey in the whole wide world. Lord, please be with this invitation, and I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand, please. There's not going to be any singing. We're just going to listen to the instruments play. The altar's open. I know it's late, but it's later than you think. The altar's open. Please come quickly.